So I mentioned earlier the Orthodox Union has you know, it's not just that they're offering grants, which is great, because believe me, a lot of synagogues need those grants right now. They've had a rough year, a lot of synagogues. So believe me, there are plenty of synagogues who need the grant, which is great. But I was just telling Moshe Bain off the air, and I'm going to introduce him in a second, that what the OU has done to call attention, not just the grant and the effort, believe me, that's wonderful, but just the fact they've called attention to what I think is a major problem coming out of this pandemic is fantastic, because there has to be, over the next year, there has to be a big push. Parents, grandparents, rabbis, leaders of all types, we need a big push to get people to come back to shul. Very simple. That's where we all belong. That's really where we all belong. President of the OU, the Orthodox Union, and a tremendous friend of ours here at JM and the AM is Moshe Bain, and he is with us live via telephone. An honor to welcome you back to JM and the AM.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to be with you, Nachum.
I appreciate that. We'll do the grant in a minute. And like I said, believe me, plenty of synagogues need those grants now, because a lot of them have had a rough year. But just the fact that the OU is shining the light on such an important issue is, I think, wonderful. It's a terrible problem, but it's wonderful that you're out there talking about it and urging people to help solve it. The reality is, it's very simple, Moshe. The reality is that we as a community, especially here in this area, I'm sure other parts of the country have enjoyed it as well, we as a community have made great progress over the last 20, 30 years in getting people to pay attention to Tefillah B'Tzibur, getting people to pay attention to being in shul on a regular basis. Shabbos, Yontif, men, women. I mean, I think we've done a great job. And there are communities with the thriving minyanim on a daily basis. And the pandemic, aside from taking us out of our shuls and making us, you know, homesick for our shuls, unfortunately, it got a lot of people used to not being in shul. And then, frankly, it's gotten a lot of people used to not davening in what is a, let's say, proper, I'll take blame for the word, I won't put words in your mouth, a proper Jewish atmosphere. Believe me, I get the convenience and the importance of davening outside in a park or in someone's backyard, but ideally, you know, one should be in a real sanctuary with an Aron Kodesh and a proper environment for their davening. So tell me about the genesis of this idea. Obviously, it ends with asking people to apply for these grants, and we'll go through that. But at what point did you say that your organization must be a leader to get people back to shul?
Well, you know, Nachum, I agree with you entirely that there has been enormous progress in our community throughout the United States on enhancing the relationship between the Orthodox community and attending shul, both on Shabbos and during the week. And the pandemic has had an effect on slowing down, if not reversing, that trend. The Orthodox Union does, on a regular basis, review the condition of American Orthodoxy and try to identify dimensions that we could be assistance in. And I think your point is extremely well taken. The benefit of the grants is really a side point to the purpose of the project. The purpose of the project is to get people to start thinking among their shuls and outside of their shuls, what could the community do to begin to return to an enormous trend that was on the rise that has been reversed? And by creating the buzz among shuls, and we've gotten already over 70 proposals, and we expect by the time we hit the deadline next Friday, we'll have way over 100. Just that discussion within a shul to talk about what could we be doing to get people back in, that alone is the objective we're trying to accomplish that has already been achieved.
Yep.
And the community benefits from Tefillah B'Tzibur prayer with a minyan in many, many regards. Some of them are direct spiritually. I mean, we know that our rabbis tell us that the prayers prayed together as a community have much greater potency in Shemayim in heaven. But there's also social dimensions. So when a person begins their day before going to their office or their hospital or their factory, first beginning with a group of Jews talking to God, the entire day is different.
Yep.
And when you're praying at home, although, of course, God listens to the prayers of us individually, it's not the same. And we're losing that dimension, which is a whole trajectory of our day that we want to get back on track with.
Yeah, I always say when I daven alone, it's like 1% of the davening experience, but Seaborn, of course, I'm no rabbinic authority. Maybe the percentage is higher, as you just indicated. God obviously listens, but it's just not, it's not the same. And, you know, we have a problem, folks. We have a problem. And I, you know how I know the problem? I know the problem because my Amen Yehi Shmei Rabbah is not nearly as effective, in my opinion, and doesn't have the same effect on me, you know, outside on a regular basis as it does in an actual shul. And I know that that sounds, you know, crazy to some people, but I'm telling you, it is a different feeling. Saying Baruch Hu is a different feeling, even when you have a minyan, but you're not in a sanctuary. And I've always, you know, I understand, you know, people have safety concerns. I get it. And it may even, you know, being outside the sanctuary may actually bring, you know, more people to a minyan because of the whole situation with the outdoor minyanim. But the bigger problem, as Mosh Bain is pointing out, the bigger problem is that there are people who are actually staying home. And, you know, Mosh, you just mentioned 70 applications, which is great. And I really do believe it has nothing to do with the grants, that the effort was just, you know, we got to get people to start focusing on this. I'm not putting you on the spot, and I'm sure there's a committee that's going to analyze it. Have you seen any creative ideas that rabbis have had about getting people back to shul? People apply for grants. Do they have good concepts attached to it that you think can effectively, you know, increase the population in shul?
I think there are many, and we're going to try to ferret through them and identify those that are most potent. I'll share with you one that came from Israel, actually, as a suggestion from a very prominent teacher, Rebbe, in Israel, that over the last year and a half, there have been many, many simchas that, as we all know, have been celebrated with small groups rather than the entire community.
Right.
And perhaps now it's an opportunity to go back into shul and take a whole bunch of weddings that were celebrated the prior year, or bar mitzvahs or bat mitzvahs, and create Shabbosim in which those are celebrated and all the community is brought back into shul to celebrate collectively.
What a great idea.
I thought that was an incredible idea.
Oh, what a great idea. I actually heard of somebody who made a bar mitzvah celebration for their 14-year-old son just a couple of weeks ago. He couldn't lane last year, so they made a bar mitzvah celebration and laned this year. I mean, why not? Oh, what a great what a great idea that is. Anything that could bring people back into the environment of a synagogue is so vital and so important. And like I said, we spent a lot of decades building up to this point where people would take it seriously in terms of going to shul on a daily basis. And not just Shachar, it's Mincha Maariv as well. I am amazed at how many people still gather, thank God. I mean, maybe not as many in offices now, maybe now again in the backyard scenes and, you know, outdoor park settings. But I'm amazed how many people are still concerned about making sure to daven three times a day with a minyan.
Look, I'll tell you, when I went back in the olden days, when there was such a concept of travel, I used to travel around the country for the Orthodox Union. One of the real characteristics of a community was whether or not they had a late Maariv in the winter for people who were not home in time for the Maariv at the regular sundown time. And you saw communities. It was amazing to me, as you say. I would go into a shul at 10 o'clock at night, and there'd be 30, 40 men in a rather small community coming to daven Maariv. That's a vibrancy that reverberates through a family, through a community, and we have to make sure that we continue in that direction.
Yeah, no question about it. Mosh Bain is with us. We're talking about the Orthodox Union. I should have it here in front of me, I assume. Yeah, here's the grant situation. Grants of up to $5,000 will be awarded to the program selected, will be administered to the OU's Department of Synagogue Initiatives, which is an amazing department, by the way. Synagogue's interested in applying for the grant. It's ou.org/grant21. Simple as that. ou.org/grant21. They're due April 30th, so you have a week to put this together. The awards will be announced May 14th, so you don't have to wait long to find out who will be awarded the grants. And that is the financial benefit that a shul can get if they're making an effort to bring people back to shul. But again, whether you get a financial benefit or not, all community leaders of all ages should be doing everything in their power to get the shuls completely reopened and to attract men and women to come on Shabbos, to get people to come during the week, to make the minyanim as strong as possible. In some cases, people are just going to, you know, slap the minyanim on the schedule and just, you know, encourage people one by one to come and help make the minyan, whatever it might be. And that might be what it takes to schlep people one by one. And one other thing, Mosh, by the way, and someone mentioned this to me the other day, and I was so saddened by it. I love when I meet a young couple, and I am told that, you know, basically every day since Shevar Brachas, the husband's been in shul. And forget about COVID. There's nothing to do with COVID. And I say to myself, wow. And it's funny, for a guy that unfortunately misses Shachris of the Minyan too often because of my job, it's funny that I'm saying this, but I have given speeches around this area, you know, to different settings about tefillah, a topic that is so dear to my heart, about prayer. And I love that. When I hear of a young couple and someone says, yeah, they're married half a year. The guy's been in shul every morning. They're married 2 years. He never missed it. To me, that is the basis of the start of a bias neman b'Yisrael. That is the basis of the start of establishing a real Jewish family among our people, even before there are kids on the way. I have a feeling you agree with me, but that what the sad part is, I have heard of so many young men in their 20s and 30s who were making an effort to get to shul as often as possible, who basically have given up on the concept since this pandemic started. And I don't know if there are any synagogues out there with a specific initiative for your grant aimed at those young couples, but if there is, I think it's a really important age group to focus on.
Yeah, that's no question about it. And there's a tangential dimension to this entire issue, which we have to talk about, and that is the strength of the shul as a community center.
Yep.
And the many, many roles that the shul plays, that if there is a weakening of the commitment of individuals to the shul, all of those services that we rely on throughout the year, both youth programming, women's involvement, women coming to shul, I mean, although there have been some backyard minyanim that women would be invited to join with the mechitza,
right,
by and large, they're not. And women have, in particular, not had an opportunity to return to shul. And they also have an important role in coming to shul. And shul also plays other chesed, benevolent programs in the community, whether it's Bikur Cholim, visiting the sick on an organized basis, or many, many other programs. We need to have the shul strong, and we need people to be part and parcel of the rejuvenation of the shul after the pandemic's conclusion.
No question about it. I would also add, and you know, we did the big Chesed initiative before Pesach here, and just encouraging people to do good deeds for others. If you want to be involved and help other people, sometimes you have no choice but to find out from other people in shul and from the rabbi, you know, who's in need, who can I help, who can, you know, I be there for. And it just, you know, it's sort of a ripple effect. You walk into shul, not only are you automatically starting your day, like you said, with a certain attitude, a certain atmosphere, and by doing certain mitzvos, which seem endless when one is in shul, but in addition to that, the opportunities of doing things for other people in the community, you know, goes up exponentially because you are, you know, surrounded by others who care and others who want to help out. So all of this is so vital and so important. It's not just about going and listening to the rabbi speak. And it's not just about going and being there for the minyan. It's going, as you just said, to reestablish the synagogue as the centerpiece of our community. And I also, I'll add one other thing, Moshe. I hope the larger Jewish communities don't look at this, you know, that it's not as vital for them. You know, in a smaller Jewish community, it's an easy argument to make how that synagogue is, you know, vital to the future of the community. Often in areas like ours geographically, people will be like, oh, you know, what do we need the larger shuls? What do we need these, you know, daily centers of gathering for minyanim when there's so many, you know, makeshift ways we could go about it? I think I fear that as well, that in places with a large Jewish population, they may not take it as seriously.
Yeah, no question. That's a valid perspective. Look, I think the identity that we develop by being part of a kehila, by being part of a community, affects our entire self-image and our connection to Yiddishkeit, to Judaism. And being part of a shul is a vital part of that identity that we develop, not only for ourselves, but for our children, our spouse, and our broader family. So that's why we have our celebrations in shul. That's why we have our bar mitzvahs and our ufrufs in shul, because we need to be part of a community, a real community, in order to have the sense of identity of who we are and where we belong.
Maish, you know what you just reminded me of? I used to always say that half the time I go to shul, half, right, 50%, and I go a lot, half the time I go to shul, it's because I watched my father go to shul with 105 fever. And, you know, I'm sure you could appreciate that. And by the way, everyone, as you think about your children and grandchildren, think about that. Think about the role model you're being when you go to shul under all circumstances or within all reasonable circumstances. You will be enhancing the next few generations just by undertaking that. For that reason alone, Maish, it's a good idea to go to shul. Forget about actual tefillah, but just in terms of building a good Jewish family, it's a pretty important thing to do.
Anyway,
Maish Bain, president of the OU. It's very simple. There are grants available, but as Maish confirmed for me and I conjectured earlier, this initiative has been undertaken just to bring attention to a really serious problem. And if you don't think it's serious yet in your community, it can get very, very serious. Got to take our word for it on this. Grants up to $5,000 for synagogues and programs that are selected They'll be administered by the OU's Department of Synagogue Initiatives. That's till April 30th to submit OU.org/grant21. The awards will be announced quickly by May the 14th. Mike Spain, I thank you for this. I think you've really, you and your organization have brought a really important problem to the forefront, and we appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for partnering and getting this word out.
100%. I hope people listen. Everybody, young and old, you got to get back to shul. It's as simple as that for all the reasons we mentioned. You got to get back to shul. Kudos to everybody who's going to get a lot of credit up there for davening in the snowstorms. I'm not kidding about that. The scene, even last night, the outside minion near my home. It was 30 mile an hour winds, and frankly, it was freezing for an April evening. But we got to get back to shul. And that's a Shabbos, and that's during the week. We got to get back to shul, and whatever you could do, everybody out there, and the young leadership, you have the power more than anybody to convince your colleagues to get back on a daily basis. If you're in your 20s and 30s, boy, can you have an effect on your community, on your group of friends. Start with one of the ideas that I always talk about in my tefillah, in my prayer presentation. Convince your friends to go once a week. Be the Tuesday guy. We need you for a minion every Tuesday. You be the Thursday guy, and you'll see how that once a week changes their lives, and then how the, you know, 5 weekdays a week will change their lives. And hopefully they're already in shul Shabbos and Sunday, hopefully. But we need to get back to shul, and I'm begging everybody out there to please do everything in your power to understand the seriousness of the problem. And yeah, your backyard minion may be really convenient, and it may be an amazing 90-minute Shabbos morning tefillah with a great kiddush. I get it. But and it may not have a negative effect on you at all, but that type of minion existing is keeping people who need shul out of shul. Please, please think about that. Please. Whenever we talk about davening, I always get passionate. That's what happens when you grow up loving shul, and you raise children who Baruch Hashem love shul. Thursday morning broadcast, JM in the AM.